Okay, in case you haven't figured it out, we just got plugged into BBS, and Don has his usual subtle way of letting us know I have to forget everything I'm saying, and we get back to it. This is February 3rd, 2015, and we're talking about the esoteric explanation of what happens on these calls, where we affiliate our energies with each other, we affiliate them with these group souls, and the last thing I said, you know, it's we're dealing with a lot of invisible stuff, a lot of stuff that we have no physical parameter to measure it. Well, I can say it's happening, but that doesn't mean it's happening because we can't measure it, although one parameter is your experience. And many of us on this call are having an unusual experience. We feel energies. We feel expanded. We have increased synchronicities. And to me, that is the byproduct of creating a group energy in a higher dimension. And so we are creating it, all of us together, and we don't have to do a lot. I just have to show up and open my mouth, but I'm not doing it. It's like we're doing it. It's our creation. And you can pat yourself on the back just for being part of it, because as simple as it is, it's also a major phenomenal event to be occurring in 3D, for a group of people to be doing that and having a conscious awareness they're doing it, and understanding they're doing it, and having the voice, the intelligence on the other side communicate to us their perspective, how it looks. And that is amazing. And it was really hard to mock that up. Jerry couldn't make up that voice. You couldn't mock up all those feelings. And that's why it's so hard to tell someone else about it, because if they haven't had the experience, you can't. They don't have a common ground point to enter into the situation. And so one of the things that happens is people start to build their matrix in higher realms. I'm inventing vocabulary here because it's no vocabulary. Okay, we have a hologram, expands out. Most of the time, for many of us, our attention is focused in 3D, in the physical world. And then it gets focused in our emotions. And then it gets focused in various places in our body, our sexuality, and even a little bit of psychic awareness, intuitive awareness. And now we're building a anchor point outside of all of that, including your psychic awareness. And I'm making the premise of that. And that, as I understand it, 3D is created from the dimensions above 3D. In other words, everything here has corresponding energies coming into the point to make a shift here, to make something happen. And maybe not everything, because maybe things are just 3D, okay? But in particular, phenomenal things are things that we call miracles. On the higher realms, they're not miracles. It's like on the highest of realms, where there's no inertia in the physical realm, things happen immediately. A higher realm being can think of something, and it happens. Supposedly, there's even spaceships that are projected from consciousness that don't have any physical material making them up. And somebody can move this consciousness ship around by their thoughts. And I'm not sure they even have bodies. Well, occasionally somebody has an experience that's phenomenal. Sometimes it's minor, sometimes it's major, but it's like something that wouldn't have normally happened. And when this happens, it's an interface where someone has built their energy into the higher dimensions and made an anchor point there so that that can shift down into this dimension and recreate something that would not normally be recreatable. And of course, when we're working with the higher dimensions and we are learning to tap into the energy fields of these group souls, then they have tension and volition as well. And so the theory is that they can hear us when we rise to the occasion, and that they can assist and move something. And they don't usually take credit for it. I don't even like to talk about it too much because I don't like to raise everyone's level of expectations. And at different times on the calls, you know, everyone wants a miracle. Everyone wants a magical shift in their life. Everyone wants to win the lottery. Everyone wants to be totally healthy. And it doesn't happen for everyone. But it does happen. So I'm talking about, like, when it does happen, what are the parameters that make it happen? What are the variables? And how can you set yourself up for this kind of transformation, miracle, phenomena in your life? And everybody wants it. Everybody wants something magical and wants it all to shift. And everybody needs more money. And we all need things. Oh, I guess almost all of us need things. So I got an email today from someone who had an event happen. And I thought that I would read it because I get these emails quite often. And one day I'm going to do a compilation of them. But I do resist putting it out because I hate when somebody really is suffering and they come to our calls and I can't magically wave a wand and say, you're better. And I can see why that even wouldn't be good. Because if I could do that, first of all, we'd have lines, the lines would be so jammed up that there'd be no room for everybody. Second of all, it's like people come and expect something to be done to them. You know, it's in our collective, it's in our habits that something should be done. The government's going to fix it. Your parents are going to fix it. The doctor is going to fix it. All these people we give over our authority to. And, of course, finally, the Elohim's going to fix it, or the Ra group's going to fix it. And the way this fixing occurs, at least in terms of our soul groups, from my observation, has to do with getting the resonant frequency of the higher realms. Frequency is not necessarily the best word, because I don't know if it is a frequency. I do know there's, Carla calls it tuning. Carla Ruckert calls it tuning. And Terry has some name for it, but it's like creating a space where you can feel a shift in your field where you can feel what might be the presence of these group souls. Okay? And that is a bridge and a link for something to happen. And then, of course, there's a lot of other things involved besides that. First of all, you have to be, now this is a tricky one. I was going to use the word worthy. And when I say worthy, in a sense, we are all worthy. But where it screws up is if you've got a lot of devious things in your life, if you've got a lot of areas where your integrity is lacking, if you've been lying to people, the chances are you're not going to be able to create this clear path to the higher realms. That all of those things block that. So if you are wanting this, somehow you got to work around that other stuff. And that's not necessarily easy, because a lot of times people do those things because they feel desperate. And when you're in the physical world and you don't have enough money and your children aren't eating or you're not eating and your energy is deficient and it's hard to get it up, your backup is against the wall, how do you work with that? That'd be a good question for our sources sometimes, because people do get desperate. And when they get desperate, they compromise themselves. I don't know the answer to this. I do know, though, when you compromise yourself, you lose some of the ability to connect. So I wanted to read this. I'm going to leave the person anonymous because I didn't get their permission. But I think it's inspiring to hear how this actually worked for someone. And I think it gives all those people who are kind of waiting or wanting or wishing at least a reference point. So I have been following your BBS shows since your first interview on Coast to Coast. I think it's vital that people have patience with the sources, identifying and tuning to each individual's location and frequency. I have multiple requests, help with a leaky bladder problem, old guys aging thing. And on the last February 22nd Sunday show, the power was incredible. That was yesterday. Later that evening, I was watching the tube relaxing, and my entire body from the waist down started vibrating. This went on for several hours, even after I had to bed. For the first time in 20 years, I slept through the night without awakening to urinate. I have gone about my daily routine today with no problems. I am amazed and thankful for the help from above. Please let everyone know that they will honor your request for help. I am still trying to wrap my head around this. Thank you, Lynn. Okay. And thank you for sending that to me. And I hope it holds. And I hope other people are inspired to have that experience. Now, you know, here's another interesting email we got today. You know, I was at this UFO Congress, and actually we were a little low on money, and I particularly booked this to set up a little table to sell pendants. And we got there, and I was sitting, Terry did not want to be there. She was staying in the motel room. And I was sitting at the table, and I did the worst job ever. Every part of me resisted wanting to sell pendants, okay? And And I don't think I'm supposed to do that anymore, at least in that way. But in any case, I did it. And I left the table empty, and I walked around, and I was meeting people and talking to people like Nikki and Sasha and whoever, and we had them on the call yesterday. And I just decided I wasn't really there to sell pendants and make money, but nonetheless, we were doing it anyway, and I the last day of the show, I didn't even want to talk to anybody. I just sat there. And then we got an email today that from someone who was at the show who attended, in spite of my hostility to sell. And I felt like I was getting cold yesterday. After I put, I felt better within an hour. Today I feel bucks again. And so I happened to speak to a chap, and he may end up some dependence on his own website, which makes the whole show perhaps worth it. But in any
Ben, do you have your phone as a backup, because it's getting too bad your connection with Skype?
It is. I could probably grab Terry's phone. Hang on a second. Am I going in and out? Is that what's going on?
Yeah, it's kind of like we missed pieces of it.
Okay, I'll grab Terry's phone.
Hello? Hi. Sound good?
Yes, you do.
Yeah?
Yep.
Okay. All right. So,
Say again what the person said on the pendants.
Say again what?
What the person said on the pendant.
The guy sent me an email. He said, I felt like I was getting a cold yesterday. After I put this pendant on, I felt much better within an hour. Today, I feel like $1 million again. Well, we've had that experience before where the pendants kind of bring in the energy and cause a shift to occur. And to me, I think that's a miracle. Even though people think it's dependents, I think dependents help drive a person to move their consciousness into a higher dimension. And those are just in the last 24 hours. You know, every week we get emails from people that are having some kind of transition, something that happens that indicates that what we're doing is working. And the reason it's important to mention it is because it's like for people that want that experience and they're not having it, I suggest being patient. And of course, if you give up and you say this doesn't work for you and there's another thing that works, then go for it, okay? But it took people. I know Hives was coming in on the calls for a long time, and he was even moderating the call. And I don't know. I don't think he had any phenomena for quite some time. Any direct validation? Is that right, Hives? Did you have any direct validation?
You know, the one with my son, his warts. That was just amazing. And
but prior to that, nothing ever happened, right? But,
No.
Yeah, I mean, that was like 2 years, at least 2 years, even coming into the calls, right?
Mm-hmm.
And having that situation. And then that happened with your son. So what happened was, why don't you tell the story? Go ahead.
It was in my son had warts on his hands for a couple of years already, and he was like walking by me when we had to send a great healing call. Back then, we did still our healing requests live on the call. And I asked him first, said, hey, can I put the healing of your hands in the light? And he was only like, I think, 5 years old or so. And he said, sure. So then, you know, when I had my turn, I put it in the love light. And it was the very next day, on Monday morning, my wife calls me when I was at work. She says, I can't believe it. All of a sudden, Eddie's warts are disappearing. And you know, it took another 2 weeks or so, and no traces were left. So that was, you know, that was just such an amazing experience.
So the bottom line is to be patient, and also don't think you're no good if nothing happens. That has to be a good topic to ask our sources, because I think that when you want something to happen and nothing happens, you can say, I must not be worthy, okay? And probably we've run into this in detail at different calls about why it works for some people and why it doesn't work for other people. And then it doesn't work, but then it suddenly does work. So this is part of the mystery. And I just wanted to share that because I wanted to share that email we got from the fellow that had that. He's been coming to the calls for quite some time, and then suddenly he's convinced that there was an intercession there, the way that he felt the energy through his body, and it all fixed itself. And keep asking, keep coming into the calls, and see if you can make it work. Now, I wanted to take a moment. I wanted us all to send the light to Carla Ruckert, who wasn't on the call yesterday. She wasn't feeling well. And I'd like to send the light to Alan's husband, Ted Flagstaff. And to all of you who are wanting something to change, to improve, to get better, that hasn't happened yet, I just want to send you the wishes that it might happen, and soon. And I want to read to you, you know, I was with Sasha. Those of you that didn't hear yesterday's call, you know, another variable here is that when we did the call yesterday, I had Sasha Lesson as part of a call. I had Nikki as part of a call. I had James Gillian as part of the call. And they're all really powerful people. And Terry, of course, is part of the call. And maybe we, the group of us, helped send out a stronger energy than we normally do. And so that stronger energy might have helped people tune into the frequency better. Now, I'm just hypothesizing. I'm learning like you. Believe me, I got no instruction manual on how to do this. But and maybe that's why yesterday's call was effective, and maybe someone else had that same experience. If you did, email me. I'd like to know, okay? And maybe some of those people will continue to be on the call. And another thing is, it's not just the people. It's the holding of the energy of newness. You know, it's like I've said this before in romance. Romance always seems to work really well right at the beginning, and then afterwards, you can't help but get into certain repetitive patterns, and you can't necessarily hold the intensity of that first connection. And so yesterday was kind of like romance because we had three new people on the call that were just discovering this, and there was the newness of the discovery and meeting, and that's part of the reason, one of the reasons we had such a strong energy, that everyone was in that what's going on here zone, and it created a pathway and a portal for a higher energy on the call. Okay, that's all I want to say about that. I wanted to read a little bit about Maldek, and particularly I was inspired about Maldek because Sasha Lesson, who was on the call yesterday, somebody I never met, but I had been studying his website, and he was connected with Zachariah Sitchin. And for the past last 5 years of Zachariah Sitchin's life, Zachariah Sitchin was test training him, wanting him to put some of his material out that was never out, and Sasha has done that. And he and his wife worked together on that, Janet. And, of course, the Zachariah Sitchin work is the work where we have learned about Enki and Enlil and the Anunnaki and the gold mining and the engineering, genetic engineering of humans. And I would have had Sasha on the call tonight, but he was still on the plane back to Hawaii because he's kind of an expert on all this stuff. And he's put out books with some of the translations of Sitchin that have never been out. And we got one and we're reading it, and it is totally fascinating. And there's something that I brought to the table, or that I bring to the table, that no one else has put together. And that is, and I've been thinking about this and pondering it for a long time. Terry knows. I said, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? That is connection between all of this Anunnaki stuff. And, you know, in brief, the Anunnaki stuff makes the case that humans were genetically engineered by ETs that were gold mining, and they engineered the humans to be slaves. And the humans were actually a hybrid of the Anunnaki ET race, and either the apes or Neanderthal man or something like that. And the Anunnaki engineered the humans to be their slaves, and that became one of the population centers, quote, particularly in the Middle East, particularly in Egypt, for this planet. And concurrent with that is there was this planet, Maldek, that exploded and became the asteroids. Maldek is a planet that was in our solar system, and that according to the Ra sessions of Carlo Ruppert, Maldek, the population of Maldek ended up turning into a tangled mass of souls that lost their individuality, and that they were brought to Earth by the Ra group, or the Confederation as they call it, and to continue their evolutionary path on Earth. And, you know, Terry has a lot of experience working with souls that have been in a tangled mess. Terry, are you there?
Yeah.
And I thought I'd give Terry a moment to explain some of her experiences with tangled masses of souls. Is that okay? she just had that panic look in her eye. There you go.
Okay. I had a long trip. I remember a lot of my experiences, and there was a time when I was, they actually nuked Sodom and Gomorrah, a couple of cities, and they nuked the Sinai Peninsula. This was thousands of years ago, and they still find remnants of radioactivity and stuff in those places today, and the Dead Sea is dead, doesn't grow stuff. And so I remember at the time that that was done, I was so disappointed. I was devastated. And so it has been my goal to pick up souls that were stuck in different places. And so sometimes I can see places where souls have been stuck. It's like an anomaly in the area of space-time. And I can hear their calls. So, like about 450,000 years ago, the Anunnaki were starting to bring to mine gold, and they had a gold mine in South Africa, and they had a spaceship that would stop, and the spaceship had a route going over from different planet to different planet, and would stop in South Africa and pick up gold and then go on. And so I came across this scene, which was like a disturbed anomaly in the field, and checked it out. And there had been six guys that were, they felt like they were slaves. And it was their job to release the spaceship so it could leave when it came to lock it down for the time that it was there for the gold to be loaded and the captain to sign off on it all. So the spaceship landed, and these six guys made a pact that they would, one of them would take over the spaceship, fly it off, get help, and come back to try and rescue the other five guys. So they loaded the gold on, and the captain went to sign off for the shipment. And while he was in the headquarters of the mine, they had a little cafeteria there, too, for the miners and the truck drivers that would carry the gold back and forth at the time. And he went in, and one of the guys, they were from a different planet, and they had black hair, and they were a little shorter than normal. He went on a spaceship, and he was supposed to do whatever was necessary in the spaceship to fix it up so that it could be released to take off. So he went in there, and he didn't know how to operate all the controls to release the spaceship. So the guys, the five guys on the outside, went to release the spaceship, and it didn't work because he hadn't set it up right, and the whole spaceship blew up, and it had a lot of passengers on it. So the passengers were just like as if they were waiting for their trip to continue. They weren't quite sure what had happened, only the whole thing had blown up, and the people were just there waiting in line. So I went in and started to release the guys to talk to them, you know, you like to pick one guy, okay, you're on a trip, you know, what are you doing, and get them to tell me where they were going and what was happening on their trip. It's like there was one kid and he was being sent to another planet to be with his father, and he was telling me all about that. Eventually, I could get them to cross over into light, and so that they could resume their progress and resume their life. Well, that's just a little bit of some of the stuff that I have done and do, but it also highlights some of the troubles that people can get into. I was also, I found a program on TV recently called The Ghost Whisperer, which talks about that kind of thing where a ghost isn't able to cross over because he has unfinished business. He's keeping waiting to finish whatever it was. And in The Ghost Whisperer, the lady can see ghosts and talks to them and gets them to the point where they finish their business enough that they can cross over. So I'm going to give it back to Wynn now.
Okay. So, as far as I can tell, this idea of soul fragments is very real. And some of you on this line may have soul fragments attached to you. Some of you may be soul fragments that are recuperating and healing yourself, that were part of this Nandekian thing. And some of you may be beings that have come to help those Nandekian things. Some of you may have nothing to do with it. But this is a major episode that connected with Earth. And I want to get to this. I'll read a little more of this. You said yesterday that Maldek, this is from the Ruckert Ra readings. You said yesterday that Maldek was destroyed due to warfare. If Maldek hadn't destroyed itself due to warfare, would it have become a planet that evolved with self-service? And would the entities have increased in density, going on to the fourth, fifth density of the negative sense of self-service? Ra, the planetary social memory complex, Maldek, had in common with your own sphere a situation of a mixture of energy direction. Thus, it, though unknown, would most probably have been a mixed harvest, a few moving to fourth density, a few moving towards fourth density in service to self, and the great majority repeating third density. This is approximate due to the fact that parallel possibility-probability vortices cease when action occurs, and new probability-possibility vortices are begun. Now that's a big statement right there, that action changes parallel possibility, probability vortices. And so that's why when you're talking about predictions, our sources never make them, because we are in a state of action right now that changes potentially these possibility vortices. Question. Thanks. Is all of the Earth's population then human population of the Earth? Are all of them originally from Maldek? Ra, the ones who were harvested to your sphere from the sphere known before its dissolution as Maldek incarnated many within your Earth's surface rather than upon it. The population of your planet contains many various groups harvested from other second dimensional and cycle third dimension spheres. You are not all one race or background or beginning. The experience you share is unique to this time-space continuum.
Question. Then no incarnation occurred before the master 75,000-year cycle of Malzac entities, correct? Ra, this is correct in the sense of incarnation in third density time-space. Question. You said that entities from Malzac might go to, some may go to fourth density negative. Are there people who go out of our present third density to places in the universe and serve, which are fourth density self-service or negative type? They don't understand that. The peoples of Malzac had a civilization somewhat similar to that of the societal complex known to you as Atlantis, in that it gained much technological information and used it without care for the preservation of their sphere, following to a majority extent the complex of thought, ideas, and actions which you may associate with your so-called negative polarity or service to self. This was, however, for the most part, couched in a sincere belief thought structure, which seemed to the perception of the mind-body complexes of the sphere to be positive and of service to others. The devastation that racked their biosphere and caused its disintegration resulted from what you call war. Now, I'm going to jump through this. You know, all of these things, I think, as I'm reading them, say they're so complicated that you probably, you know, without me going into a lot of explanation, it's going to fall through the cracks. And have any of the Malzac entities transformed now? Are they now forming some third density planet? The consciousness of these entities has always been third density. The alleviation mechanism was designed by the placement of this consciousness in second dimensional physical chemical complexes, which are not able to be dextrose or manipulative to the extent which is appropriate to the workings of third density. Okay, I'm still going over people's heads here. The really important thing here is, I'm kind of thumb through to where it says that. Okay. At one time, just to clarify a question, could you tell me approximately how many total mind-body-sphere complexes were transferred to Earth at the beginning of the last 75,000-year period?
No time limit.
No time limit? Okay. The transfer, as you call it, has been gradual. Over 2 billion souls are those of Malzac, which has successfully made the transition. Okay, 2 billion souls are on Earth that were Maldekian. Approximately 1.9 billion souls have, from many portions of creation, entered into this experience at various times. The remainder are those who have experienced the first two cycles upon this sphere, or who have come in at some point as wanderers. Some wanderers have been in this sphere for many thousands of your years, having come more recently. Question, that our present race is formed of a few who originally came from Malzac, quite a few who came from Mars, and other entities here from other places. There are entities experiencing your time-space continuum who have originated from many, many places, as you would call them, in the creation. For when there is a cycle change, those who must repeat then find a planetary sphere appropriate for this repetition. It is somewhat unusual for a planetary mind-body-spirit complex to contain those from many, many various loci. But this explains much, for you see, you are experiencing the third dimensional occurrence with a large number of those who must repeat the cycle. The orientation, thus, has been difficult to unify, even with the aid of many of your teach learners. Okay, that's a good piece of information. many of the people on Earth are re-experiencing third dimension because they didn't graduate somewhere else, which probably includes the Maldek people. Then they talk about a large is it correct that the Logos designed this experiment to attempt to achieve the greatest possible opportunities for polarization in third density? It is incorrect that warfare of the type specific to your experiences, this is Ra here speaking, was planned by the Logos. Now, let me interject, this is Wynn. The Logos, when it's used by the Ra group, I believe is the Elohim, okay? And there was indication in the Ra material that there was a necessity for a being to go through both negative and positive in order to evolve himself. And it's part of an experiment for beings to get into God realization. And so it is incorrect. And Don Elkins is asking, is all this war we're having part of an intention of the Logos to create polarization for growth? And Ra says it is incorrect. It is correct that the Logos designed this experiment to attempt to achieve the greatest possible opportunities for polarization in the third density. It is incorrect that warfare of the type specific to your experiences was planned by the Logos. This form of expression of hostility is an interesting result, which is apparently co-commitment with the tool-making ability. The choice of the Logos to use the life form with a grasping thumb is the decision to which this type of warfare may be traced. Okay. So now, it's interesting to see how all this works. It seems a little bit detached emotionally to say that we're all an experiment, which is what they seem to be saying. But nonetheless, it is what it is, and that the war was not, the nuclear war and hostility like this was not part of the original intention. And then at the end of the second major cycle, there were a few hundred thousand people incarnate on Earth. There are over 4 billion incarnate today. Were the over 4 billion who incarnate today, were they in the Earth planes but not incarnate at that time? Or did they come from elsewhere during the last 25,000-year cycle? Ra, there were 3 basic divisions of origin of these entities. First and primarily, those of the planetary sphere you call Maldek, having become able to take up third density once again, were gradually loosed from self-imposed limitations of form. So, there were 2 billion from Maldek, and there's 4 billion on Earth. So they're saying a good portion of those 4 billion are 2 billion from Maldek. And Ra says, secondly, there were those of other third density entrants of neophytes or neophytes whose vibratory patterns matched the Terran experiential nexus. These then filtered in through incarnative processes. So now they're saying that there were many beings coming from all kinds of places who could come to Earth to complete, hopefully complete, their evolution. And that Earth Terran, they mean Earth Terra, matched their lesson. Thirdly, in the past approximately 200 of your years, you have experienced much visiting of the wanderers. It may be noted that all possible opportunities for incarnation are being taken at the time due to your harvesting process. The opportunities which this offers. So again, The wanderers, most of you know at this point, are those people who came here who already graduated and came back to be of service, many of them from the Ra group. And in another section here, it's indicated that in the 1980s, when the original Ra material was being done, there were 60 million wanderers, 60 million. And if they kept coming in, I don't know if there's any current question from Carla or myself on this, but I would guess there's probably at least 100 million wanderers. And according to the Ra material, only 10% of the wanderers who come into this realm, only 10% actually are getting it right. In other words, are finding ways to be of service. And they may not even know they're wanderers, but a wanderer almost has to find a way of being of service, or he'll get ADD, he'll get all kinds of problems, because he comes in with too much energy. And a lot of the young people that you see with ADD, I think I would make the call, that are wanderers. So we have the story here, in short, of all these beings from Maldek that came into Earth, were moved to Earth by the Ra group to continue their evolution. And at some place, where I don't know if I read this, if I passed it over, they were moved into appropriate bodies. And I asked the question in a session with Terry, were the bodies that these guys were moved into, the souls, were these the bodies of the Anunnaki? And the answer was yes. No one has ever put that together before. So now we have all the Maldekians in the bodies of the Anunnaki creating the evolution of planet Earth. The Anunnaki hybrid, I'm sorry. I said putting into the bodies of Anunnaki. No, not Anunnaki. Anunnaki hybrids. The hybrids that the Anunnaki had engineered to be their slaves, which is the precursor to humans, us, okay? And 2 billion of us anyway, according to what the Ra group was saying. So on that note, thank you all for being here. I hope that wasn't too heady, but it's very fascinating. It's very rare. I mean, you guys are getting an insight to evolution of souls at a very high level, as well as a very ordinary level, because they're working with us and you get miracles. And so thank you so much. I'm honored to bring this forth, and we look forward to seeing you Wednesday when, let me see here, when you get a chance to ask questions. So let me unmute everybody. Thank you, Hives. Thank you, Tim.
All callers are unmuted.
Thank you, Wynn.
See you later, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you, Wynn. Thank you.
Thank you, Wynn.
Thank you.
Thank you, Terry.
Thank you, Terry.
Hello, Wynn.
Hello.
Yeah. Hello.
Hi. I just
is there any suggestions that you may have towards how I may try to communicate with them, opposed from astral?
I would say that if you keep coming into these calls, you may find another way. But when you want to communicate with your star family, and you keep reaching for some higher level communication, and you haven't done all your groundwork down here, it is so easy to get a negative source. And more often than not, people get negative sources and they think it's their star family, and they get totally directed in the wrong direction.
No, and I so, got taken to my planet, and I saw my body in cryostasis, and I have a husband over there as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know the answer to that.
Brenda is on and it's off.
I don't know the answer to that, okay? And
okay, all right.
I would
first
say...
on Wednesday.
Yes, submit your question on Wednesday.
Okay.
But you know, you have to risk certain possibilities. And this is where it gets really tricky. And sometimes the negative source can project something that looks real to you. I'm not saying this is true for you, but I know it's possible that you actually think you're experiencing something, but really you're in a movie that a negative source is projecting a hologram of you.
Right, like a hologram projection.
Yeah. So you got to be open to all possibilities. I am on everything. I have to think that maybe I had a negative source, that maybe what I'm doing, I kept looking for any agendas in anything. I tell other people, you know, keep your eyes open, keep your scrutiny open. And, you know, sometimes I do believe we get some bleed through with Terry from her conscious mind and things she studied, like her favorite doctors. But I don't think we get negative sources. She's got such a high intent. But it's like this is where I can't really tell you. And if you ask a question on Wednesday, oftentimes they won't tell you because, I mean, how do you know you should believe our sources? Oh, yeah, that was all.
Coming to this planet, I remember incarnating as a small child.
Mm-hmm. But listen, that's your short question. I'm
yes.
Going home, okay?
And give her your email.
You for asking.
Win. Give her your email.
John, I don't need your help. Damn it. If I want to give somebody my email, I'll give them my email. My email is available on reply to I don't have time to answer all my... Would you like to answer my emails, John?
If you want me to win, okay, sure.
John, give her your
email.
You
have a pleasant evening. Okay.
Okay,
don't
all right,
mind,
wait.
Don't mind us.
Okay.
We're disconnecting. Thank you very much.
Joanna. She disappeared, I guess.
Okay.
Love to all. Good night.
Goodbye.